in the second chapter. I'm going to be dealing with the matter of prayer in verses 1 through 8. And I'll give you my outline just to go ahead, because I'm just going to start preaching, and then whenever my time's up, my time will be up. Verses 1 through 4, I want to look at the command to pray. Verses 5 and 6, I would like to look at the confidence in prayer. And then 7 and 8, I want to look at our conduct in prayer. You see, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to young Timothy, who is his preacher boy. And this book is more like a discipleship book. And one of the first things that Paul wants to deal with before he deals with anything else is prayer. So let's begin reading in verse 1. I'll read my whole text, and then we'll go back and look at the other verses. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I want to touch on this first phrase that he uses, I exhort therefore. You see, Paul likes to use these little introductory phrases such as beseech whenever it's almost as though he's getting on his knees and he's begging a man to do something. But in this sense, whenever he says I exhort, it's almost as though he's like a teacher in the classroom saying, I need your undivided attention right now for what I'm about to share with you. And he also says that first of all. So Paul, before he deals with anything else with Timothy, is before he deals with anything about the pastor or the role of women in the church, before he deals with what the church stands for, before he deals with the doctrines of the church, Paul wants to deal with Timothy on the matter of prayer. So let's look. It says, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. You see, Paul is a lawyer type writer. Paul likes to build his case whenever he's about to make something known. And whenever he writes this, he says he wants supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men. Paul's exhortation here is that we should pray for everybody, all men, not just saved, not just lost, but all men. And the way he does this, he builds his case by saying supplications. Well, here's the thing. Supplications and intercessions are basically the same thing, in that you are getting on your knees and begging God to do something in somebody's life. Prayers, your conversation with God. You mention people in prayer, and then also giving of thanks. When was the last time you thanked God for somebody? But here's another thing. It says for all men. And it goes on in verse 2 and it says for kings and for all that are in authority. There's many people who believe that Paul is talking about, he now is going from all men to a specific group of people like our authority figures. But I believe what Paul is talking about in this text is that it does not matter who it is you pray for all men. Whether it's the poor man on the street or it's Joe Biden in the office. We need to pray for all men, whether you like them or you don't like them. Whether you love them or whether not, whether even if you hate them, you need to pray for them. We're all called to pray. Jesus made it abundantly clear, my house shall be a house of prayer. Well, why should we lead a life of prayer? Why should we pray for all men? For this reason, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You see, a person who's a man or woman of prayer is someone who leads a life in all godliness and honesty. Well, what is godliness? Godliness is more like God-wordness. Everything that is about you, you are about God. Everything from you eat, everything to what you wear, everything's about God. Your honesty, well, what is that talking about? You're real. You're genuine. Well, if you're real before God, guess what? You'll be real before men. We all want to be real before men, right? Well, you're telling me you're going to be real before men and not real before God? He already knows. Don't get me wrong. But God wants you to tell him. Be honest with God. But here's the thing, though. He says, why should we do this? Why should we lead a life in prayer? Well, because it leads to all godliness and honesty. Well, also it says this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. This is good and acceptable. This is pleasing to God. We should do this. But here's another thing, too. There's a semicolon at the end of verse 3, meaning he's about to put a lot of emphasis on the next verse. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? Paul is not going off of topic of prayer. Paul's not going from we should pray to salvation. No, he's still dealing with prayer. What is he talking about? Okay, he's a God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. The idea in the text is this. The command of God is that you should have the desire to pray for all men as much as you want people to be saved. And not just as much as you want people to be saved, but as much as God wants people to be saved. Well, who does God want to be saved? Everybody. The whole world. How much did God love the world? He gave His own Son. We need to pray for all men. But here's the thing, though. We can have confidence whenever we pray. God wants us to have confidence whenever we pray. So how do we have this confidence? Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There is one God and there is one mediator. This mediator is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Well, why is Jesus Christ the mediator between God and man? Because there was one person, there was one man, the man Christ Jesus, who was able to reconcile sinful man to holy God. He was the only one. He's the only one who was able to satisfy the wrath of God. He was the only one who was able to cleanse your sin and to purge them to the point where you can have fellowship with a holy and righteous God. He's the only way. He is the ransom for all men. He willingly gave himself so that, as the writer of Hebrews said, we can walk boldly into the throne of grace. Not in arrogancy. Not in as though this in some sense of pride. No. In gratefulness. In adoration to God. Thanking Him that He sent His Son. And that He died for me. So that way I can have access unto God. You know how bad you are. I know how bad I am. Well, guess what? We have access unto God. We have access unto the God who loves us. Who gave His Son. And here's the thing. There's a reason why He said be testified in due time. It means after what Jesus Christ did, you can now testify about it. Guess what? You can now brag to God about how good God is. What about that? All right. Verses 7 and 8, and I'll close with this. I've got 2 minutes left. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Okay, here's Paul being a lawyer again. What's Paul doing here? Okay, he's stacking basically all his this is Paul's resume. Paul's just going to let you know what I'm about to tell you is very important. So let me start stacking my resume so you don't think I'm lying to you. Well, okay, what's in Paul's resume? I'm an ordained preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So what I'm about to say in the next verse is very important. Verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. This is your conduct in prayer. Having a spirit of prayer. Whenever Thessalonians says that we should be pray without ceasing, it's talking about a spirit of prayer. You should always be ready to pray. You should always want to pray. Even if you don't feel like it. But here's another thing too. It says, lifting up holy hands. I heard one preacher say it like this. He said, you want to know why you can lift up holy hands whenever you pray? Because you're not holding on to unholy things. Yeah. Here's the thing, whenever you pray before God, you should have holy hands. And to be honest with you, before I pray, most of the time, God lets me know what's on my hands. That sin you're dealing with. That sin you won't let go of. Holy hands. Here's my time. I'll end on this. I'll close on this. It says, without wrath and doubting, we need to pray because we love people, not out of wrath. And we need to pray in faith that what we want God to do in somebody else's life, He can do.